This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs to create extraordinary success.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Own It Show Coach Conversations, where the best conversations happen. I'm Justin.
And I'm Elise. Welcome to the show.
And again, guys, we're super excited to have our next guest, which is just going to bring a whole new concept to how we live. And as soon as she comes on, you'll realize, oh, wow, she is not from America, but she packs a punch of passion. And I just love her energy. And I think you're going to even sense this through the call and through the podcast today. And the biggest thing that she's been able to do so well is take her passion and mission and allow it to streamline where she's wanting to go. We all know that as founders, as CEOs, as entrepreneurs, people bet on the founder. People bet on you. People bet on the vision as to where you're going. And I don't know anybody who's done that better and embodies that than our guest today. So I'm extremely excited to bring on CEO and founder of Resync, Miss Barbara Depta.
Alice and Justin, thank you so much for having me. It's a pure honor and a pleasure to be here with you today. That is a very nice way to introduce me. I don't think that anyone ever said so many nice things within a few sentences about me. So I appreciate that. Maybe a few selective people, and one of them might be my dad.
That's all right. I'm in good company then.
So it has been an absolute honor to be part of your group a few weeks ago. The energy you brought in, and it was extraordinary. What you are building, it's really amazing. And I'm really, again, humbled to be part of it and being able to be part of it in any shape or form.
I appreciate you so much. And I'd love for you to share with our audience a little bit about how you grew up. We had the fortune to obviously be in person a couple of weeks ago in Miami for Live Better and that event that Elise and I hold. And the best part about seeing your story was that, again, the passion and energy in which you spoke and the conviction in which you were able to live from. And so I'd love you to share with our audience a little bit about your story, where you've come from, and how that parlays into your journey as an entrepreneur.
Thank you. I think everything starts with our story, right? We put ourselves through a journey, and without even maybe knowing it or being aware of it. But it's a question I ask myself recently more than ever, what journey I want to put myself and my body through as I go forward. I didn't ask that, you know, question when I was 8 years old and I got it and I became an injured athlete, but that takes me back to my beginnings of being born and raised in Poland. Some would consider it Eastern Europe. I can argue very kindly and politely that it's a Central Europe. but let's stick to the Eastern part, because a lot of the energy, misplaced anger, misplaced shame, misplaced pain really comes from the history of that origin of that world, of our world, that part of the world. And I think it will take me to point number one. I was, raised in a beautiful country, but with a lot of history. And when there is history, there is pain. And when there is pain, it's a choice how we approach it, right? And if we choose to live in a fear, if we choose to live in resentment, or if we choose to empower ourselves from that pain, right? We have a choice. We all do every day, regardless where you are born and where you were raised. And, my dad used to be an athlete. He got to a very early stage in a team of Olympic gymnasts, but then right before he got injured, just like me, very similar injury. He was on a horse and he felt of it and he broke his clavicle. But clavicle in itself, it wasn't just like a simple one, right? Injury that you just, wrap it up in a cast and then you go back. He never healed properly. And because he came from a poverty, you know, he was the youngest of three and he had to work in an age of, you know, he started when he was five. He was helping his mom who was, you know, sewing some things on the side to pay bills because his dad was an alcoholic. So he came from a lot of dysfunction per se, but he empowered that dysfunction and pain he was going through gymnastics. And because he didn't make it, never to, you know, that highest level of performance, which truly us coaches believe that it's Olympics, right? That's the highest level of performance. He thought that his little girl is going to do it. So he threw me to gymnastics in age of three. And I thought that I'm going to dance around with kids, right? So I got super excited and all of a sudden I'm walking to a massive space. I will never forget that. As a young child, I remember he threw me in and I'm like, where are the girls to dance around? And everyone was like flipping, doing weird stuff, right? And all of a sudden I liked it. I just immediately got into it. And the coach was Ukrainian, actually. Very well established at that point. And he was like, let her go, let her have fun. Well, five almost years into it, I'm 8 years old and I'm in a pretty good shape and a really good level. And I'm warming up and I warm up. And in my layout, I went up and instead of flipping forward and doing a double flip, I actually landed on my elbow that twisted. And Justin and Alyssa, if I can say, I remember the falling down on the ground as it was happening now. It took my breath away. It's like the world stopped for seconds. You take a deep breath, inhale, and you never exhaled. That's how it really happened. And that's how I remember. And it was a massive scream. And all of a sudden, everyone stopped. And my coach ran into me and a few of my, you know, colleagues, and they just immediately took me to a hospital. Well, at the hospital, fortunately, again, going back to Poland, it's at that stage, 89. yeah. 89, and we're going to ER, and at the ER, the doctor was drunk. We didn't know, yeah? You just kind of don't give them a breathalyzer and say, hey, can you check her out? Are you capable of it? So at that point, it was me and my dad, because the coach, it happened, I lived right across the hospital. That was the best part of the entire story. So immediately one of my friends knew where we lived and he knocked to the door of my parents and say, hey, you need to come to the hospital. So my dad ran and he walked with me inside of the doctor room. And the doctor just directly put a cast on me, but the elbow was broken. The bone was misplaced. So it grew in the wrong place, or at least it started to. So 2 weeks into it, the cast supposed to be on for 3 weeks. I'm sitting on the couch. It's just, again, like I'm reliving the moment, reliving. And I said to my dad, daddy, this elbow itches me. And he said, oh baby, just take, you know, we had like a metal scraper almost. Like it was one of the things that you can, oh my gosh, that's where my English comes to the picture. And all of a sudden, certain words that I wouldn't use on a daily basis are out of my vocabulary. when you make scarves and other things with, oh my God, what is it called?
Oh, needle point.
Thank you, Alex. Yes, needle point. So I used one, really long one, to scratch myself inside, to go inside of the cast, just to get some relief, right? And I've been doing it like I almost have been scratching my skin. To the point that probably it, you know, I felt like it was bleeding. And I said to my daddy, it hurts so bad that, guys, you could see something growing inside through the cast. So my dad says, let's just go to the hospital. And we went to the hospital. They took the cast off. There was another doctor at the ER at that time, thank God. And they broke it down, and that arm was bigger than my dad's thigh. It was so swollen. Oh. It was so swollen and red that the doctor looked and he said, she has no blood flow. It's everything was stuck in the elbow. And it's just, he said, technically within a 24 hours, I could die because there was no oxygenation, no blood flow taking place. So we had to immediately act on it. And, you know, he said it will take two surgeries, technically, that the 8-year-old technically needs to go through two surgeries because a doctor decided to drink on his shift because life was too good to him. My dad was devastated. As an 8-year-old, you know, you don't comprehend everything that well. What does it really mean? You're a little bit terrified. You know that you need to go through analysis. You need to go see additional doctors. My parents really thought that it might be a better idea to adjust the bones while I'm alive, while I'm awake, without putting me under anesthesia. So I will never forget, we drove actually to cities miles away when they were like, you know, so-called, it's not even holistic. It was, in Polish, it's called the znachor. Yeah, I don't even know what's the, you know, adequate equivalency in English. It would be someone who technically practices some sort of medicine without maybe having the license. I don't really know. But I will tell you how I was terrified because I walked to the room and there was like a massive table, like almost when you go to a physical therapist and there is like a low tables when they kind of do a structural balance exercises, right? Potentially making you do a scapula, you know, retraction, protraction stuff that you go on a plank or maybe like a stretching low table, right? That was that kind of a table, but there were straps, meaning they wanted to strap me as an 8-year-old, my legs and my opposite arm, my right arm, so I wouldn't punch them, I wouldn't kick them, because you're technically readjusting my joint, right? When they started, I was screaming so bad that my mom and my dad said, time out. This is not happening. She needs to go through anesthesia and just not feeling. My parents were devastated. I was terrified. I was in such a pain as a child. I just remember it wasn't fun. I could feel like I didn't have an arm because at that point, my arm is almost constantly at 90 degrees. I can't extend the elbow. I can't pronate. I can't supinate. I can't do anything. But you know, the long story short, we got to the two surgeries. They happened. They put a plate into the first one so the bone could grow properly. Again, we're 89, right? Not 2022. Things were slightly different back then, everywhere, I believe, not just in Poland, but it was different in Eastern Europe. So the, you know, little plate was put in, and then the second surgery weeks later was to take it out. At that point already, I could feel as a child that I will not have a full range of motion in that elbow. So my gymnastic dream, you know, went out of the window. It was gone. Right. And that's,
I have a question for you on that, because mm-hmm. clearly it had a massive physical impact on you, right? Like you're saying already at that young of an age where you don't have complete awareness, you're not processing everything as you normally would as an adult. You knew innately that you would not have a complete range of motion and that your physical body was altered forever. But how did this story, clearly it's made such an impact on your life. How has this story and this journey that you went through cultivated and created who you are today?
Thank you for leading into it, because it's really the bone marrow of it, right? the center of it. It helped me to love myself, Alice. It allowed me to eventually, it wasn't back then, it helped me to listen to my pain and not to avoid it and ignore it, which I truly believe it's very helpful today, because a lot of our society is so deprived of a touch and we are so disconnected. And pain doesn't need to be a negative thing. Pain can be one of the best educators in our life if we choose it to be, if we have the awareness to allow us to lead. I always say it's a great communicator. It's up to us if we listen or ignore it. So it taught me a great lesson from a very young age. You listen to your body.
And I sense you're not just talking about physical pain. You're talking about emotional pain as well.
So when, you know, in probably psychology and emotional, you know, growth, we all have learned that it's very painful when somebody ignores or actually almost disqualify you from your truth because of your age, right? So with that being said, when a doctor or my dad didn't believe me in the beginning that it was painful, that there is something wrong, you learn to trust yourself regardless of your age and what other people, the authorities, think. Emotionally, you are connected with yourself more than somebody would expect. Emotionally, you are your trusted source of information. You become the most important voice of that is guiding you. You become in touch with yourself so deep that nobody can dissect you and tell you that you are wrong and peel you off. I allow people to get to the point by sharing as limited as I, you know, possibilities I had, because as a child, you're being put down for different reasons, right? You don't know better. What do you know? You're just imagining things. And that can build easily, you know, resilience in you, but it can also build a massive barrier and, you know, a wall between you and the people who didn't see you and didn't hear you and didn't acknowledge you. And that was for a very long time happening in my life. And I had to. It was my choice and I had to learn how to do it, to view it as my possibility for becoming a better communicator, more compassionate, and have the courage to actually communicate with kindness, not with anger. That took me years. That didn't happen by then. But I started to learn and trust myself more than ever. That allowed me to trust myself. And, you know, today I have advisor. Today I have friends that I trust more because of their education, experience in life. They're 20, 30 years older. I really don't have too many friends in my life my age. Mm-hmm. My best friend is. But everyone else in my life, they always say you're an old soul. Mm-hmm. I truly believe I became old soul because of such an early, you know, disturbing incident that happened to me in my life that allowed me to emotionally be connected and honest, patient with myself as well. And the honesty really came with loving yourself, right? You have to love yourself.
You do. And that comes first. And something I'm super curious to understand, Barbara, is it's you've developed such a strong superpower of both discernment and intuition because you mm-hmm. know yourself so well. And it's almost as if any big decision or small decision that comes your way, you trust yourself first. How does mm-hmm. that guide you and impact you in your life today, in your business, in your relationships, in your leadership style?
Very much. Thank you. It's a very, it's fundamental gift that was given to me by the pain that I experienced as a child. That intuition, never so far. And I don't like to use, you know, today, absolutely, always, never. But so far, let's put it this way. I haven't been wrong with my intuition. If I think that a person is a good person, most likely that's a good person. If I sense that there is a danger and that's a bad business decision, I've said that to my, you know, I have two investors at this stage in Resync, and I said, I don't want to go that route. And one of them in a moment, well, let's risk it. And I'm like, mm-mm. It's not going to pay off. And I gave them reasons, of course, what I thought it's going to happen. And it happened. And we're speaking of a people that are, you know, 55, 70 years of age. And here I am, now I'm 40. and, you know, yes, a female and international and all of the, you know, lovely aspects taken into consideration, do you listen to her? Right? And all of a sudden, sometimes you have to allow people to fail or see that they were not right to trust you, to trust your judgment, because your just life story will not be applicable or appreciated by everyone, and especially not those that don't have similar stories. Or, you know, I always like to also, Alice, say, I connect so well with athletes because our backgrounds are so similar. Each one of them, most likely, and especially the one in NFL that I had really an honor to work with, the PGA less, completely different upbringing, but NFL, oh, listen, we talked about challenges as the kids we faced. I will never forget, I had a conversation with one of my corners, no mention, did you know, no names needed, but he was telling me how his mom had three different jobs and how him and his brother were laying on a mattress when there were cockroaches everywhere. Yeah. And they've made the cockroaches at some point their best friends. And I said to him, you know what? That doesn't surprise me. And I'm like, I'm not even that afraid. And he goes, what do you mean? You know, he kind of became a little bit sensitive about my color of a skin and Europe. So you had to come from money. And I'm like, not to disrespect you, but clearly you don't know too much about history and you don't know where Poland is and you don't know too much of how I was born and raised. I'm like, that's okay. I don't judge you, but allow me to share my story. I had cockroaches in my place too. And not because my parents were dirty people or we didn't clean our house. On the bottom of our apartment on the first ground, there was a bakery, and that bakery didn't keep their stuff properly. So the cockroaches from the heat were going up. Every level of that apartment had cockroaches when you turn off your lights. It was disgusting. Disgusting. Just, ugh, just mental. Ugh. When, listen, I came even to US, and when I would turn off my lights, it was so mental that I went to my kitchen. I'm like, oh my God, are there cockroaches on the, you know, anywhere?
Oh my gosh.
That much, yeah. It was so mental that turning off lights and walking to a house, it was like a family task. We are killing cockroaches. Uh-huh. Eventually, the entire, you know, building had to sue the bakery to finally do things right. But that's like up to my high school that I went through that. Being able to connect with them on that, showing, do you know what? I didn't have it as good as you think. I came to this country with $100 in my pocket from exchange student program, and I put myself through school. And I said that my dream is to work with professional athletes because I've never made it to the top. And I've made it happen. Not because I was trying to prove something. It was my dream. And I knew that through my pain and my experiences, what could help those athletes to avoid it, right? And first, just movement. And as a gymnast, actually more basketball player than a gymnast because I played up to my grad school. I knew movement, range of motion, flexibility was super important. But Justin probably can tell that not a lot of strength coaches, athletic trainers back in the day cared about range of motion, right? Or flexibility. So I'm like, perfect. I'm perfect into this category. I'm going to be a flexibility coach. And I became one of the, you know, first fascia stretch specialists in US, and that allowed me to work with some of the best, but the emotional journey guided me to the physical possibilities to help them. And also my journey and the pain I went through helped me to communicate with the athletes when I was working with them. There was a deeper connection than just, let me help you to move better. Let me design this movement, you know, routine. Let me get you on a table and let me stretch you. And let's go through at different patterns. Actually, I got to know them deeply, and deeper changes could be taking place because of how we could connect emotionally.
Totally. So, and I love that connection because we know the body is, you can't just approach it from a physical way. You just can't approach it from a mental way. Or it's a holistic symbiotic relationship between mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. Everything's interconnected and everything's interweaved. And when you're able to meet people on all those levels and connect deeply on those levels, the results that you get are better. It's proven through copious different models through different studies, and then also just anecdotally, that that is actually real. And so I'd love for you to share with our audience, who again, primarily entrepreneurs and executives themselves, who oftentimes are so driven to accomplish what the goal is, the task is, that they forget to connect with a story. And that we communicate with people, whether they're customers, whether they're investors, whether they're business partners, or just people in general, that we connect through story. That is truly the way in which we get deep, intimate relationship building. And so you've been able to embrace your story and use that as a part of what you do to connect with people. How can you, or what advice do you give people to be able to truly reach in and find their story, understand their story, and be able to use it as a part of their superpower as you have?
You know, there are so many layers we can probably go through to answer that question, but you probably remember, Alice, you were not there, but Justin, you were, when I shared with your group of executives that visited the Miami Own It event, I said, we underestimate the value of safety. Safety with our environment. And when safety is not present, it's in your relationship, guys, right? It's the same in business. Change is almost impossible. Growth is impossible, right? There is no authentic sharing, common ground, ability to authentically communicate. And when you think of a business, people think of the outcome without having the strategy and without having the relationship with the people to get there. And you can't have a relationship with you. You just have an expectation of someone to do things without knowing how to connect with them. So they are not only willing, they're passionate to go and spend hours after 5 o'clock or whatever the time is that they're ending to actually help them to have the vision and care about your business like it's their own. Asking questions is what I truly believe we were never taught.
Love that. Say that again.
Asking key, sometimes uncomfortable, deep questions is something no school, no certification, no degree provided us with. It's a life experience and relationships that allow us to ask questions. Questions that might be uncomfortable only for those who never asked them or those who never wanted to answer them. And then the question is why? That sounds like you haven't been authentic with yourself. And if you cannot be authentic with yourself and honest with yourself, how can you be with others? And if you are not honest with somebody else, how can you build a reliable, solid relationship? Game over. That's your foundation. And I always say that. So, you know, with my stuff, even though it's such a small, you know, it's such a small company, and where I actually lost one, you know, employee during the COVID, there is a time and place when you can, of course, connect with people, right? But you need to show you care. And people sometimes get wrapped up about the money and the outcome and the timeline. It's got to happen then, and it's got to be this way. And what if it's not? What if we take a different road? It may take a month longer, but not only we will become more successful, we will connect, we will learn about ourselves. I think people just put the wrong word by the, you know, in the transition. It's the fear if it doesn't happen, the outcome, what's going to happen. And I look at it like, this is an awesome process. I'm going to learn something about myself, regardless if I fail with that particular one. I'm not even looking at it as a failure. I'm looking at it the next tool to help me to learn about my business, my people, and our growth and how we can get there. So lesson versus failure and fear that masks our vision anyhow, it's not helpful. So it's a choice of your vocabulary. It's a choice of how you view yourself and how you communicate yourself, right? It's the same like with fueling the body. Either you fuel your mind with the right words or you fuel your mind with a crappy thought, It's just like people, what people you have in life. It's, people are like nutrients. I treat people like nutrients. Are you good fat for me or are you fat?
You know what?
Are you?
You're absolutely right. And I love, and I don't know if you did this intentionally or not, but you, the messaging that you started off with is very similar to the messaging that we're at now, is that it comes back to a conscious choice that you have. You can choose to live in fear, or you can choose to see the opportunities around you. You can choose to look at what's wrong, or you can choose to look at what you have to learn from every single situation. And it's so clear, Barbara, that you have designed this life and this mindset for yourself of what we call ownership. You live in true ownership because you focus on those things that are going to make you stronger and make you better, as opposed to choosing to live in the fear of what will happen if that big, hairy, audacious goal that you have doesn't end up working out. So I'd love to ask you, this is one of our listeners' favorite questions, is what would you say, from somebody who lives so strongly in ownership, what would you say is your definition of ownership?
You know, again, every question can have a different answer, right? There are different ways and roads, I like to say, that can get us to Rome, right? But having a courage, ownership is having a courage to ask yourself critical questions and be clear. Courage, clarity, compassion. It's like my favorite three C's, I like to say. I need to have the courage to ask myself the questions. I need to have the clarity to answer them. And I need to be very compassionate about how I approach myself if I don't know, and I need a time to find out. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame and look for answer outside. I'm the source. I need to find out. I need to ask myself. I need to sit down with myself and have a conversation. That's my ownership. But I do it with a compassion. I don't do it anymore with pain, with resentment. How dare you not know it? You went through so much. How you do not know? Blame and shame are never part of my conversation right now. They used to be. And that didn't help me with anything. And through transitions, I was going through life. So ownership in me is really starting with the clarity of your mind, having the courage to ask yourself critical questions and be okay not knowing, but have the compassion for yourself.
I love it. It's so true, because it wraps everything that you've just said into a really nice box with a bow, in terms of how to actually take action and use it. And so, Barbara, where can people find you? Where can people gain access to you for everything that you're putting out and kind of the mission that you're on?
Thank you. I own a company called Resync, R-E-S-Y-N-C, and the website is Resync Products. And they can learn a lot about why the nutritional products I put for oxygenation and exactly recovery and connective tissue health, because I'm so passionate about every layer of the body. And also, as you know, I want to contribute, there is a code people can use to get any products if they choose. It's own it 15. Absolutely, that would, you know, contribute to a discount to them. And then I don't know if it's okay, but if you do not mind, I also, from a structural point of view, structural balance coaching, I also am a founder of Beyond Stretch, where I just shared with you, you know, a few weeks ago, I just got a patent on the tool, which I'm super excited about, because it helps proper movement from the ground up and helps the oxygenation and a proper mobility from the ground up, which is everything for every step we take. But that's a completely different story. And that's a completely probably different conversation. But again, that's on Beyond Stretch. And if anyone decided to get, you know, core boot for themselves, use also Own It 15, because we already set up for you. The coat is there. So the seed is planted.
Love it. And as you guys will notice, there is no kickback to Own It on that. That is surely out of Barbara's generosity to reach out to our audience.
Absolutely.
So guys, it's so clear that as entrepreneurs, as executives, we all have our own stories. We all have our own stories we have to lean into. And the greater that we can lean into those stories, the greater we can connect with people. And we know that people is what drives business. It's what drives life, and it's what drives fulfillment. And so again, the framework that we can show up with is we have clarity of what our story is, clarity of where we want to go. And we have courage to lean into that. The more courage we have to show up and to actually reach for our dreams, reach for our goals, take action on those, and then to have compassion on the journey. We know that it's a journey. We know it's going to have ups and we know it's going to have downs, but staying consistent along with that and adding another C to that, that trifecta that Barbara gave us is a great way to put that into application in our real life, because we know that success is different. So you guys can own your different and ultimately realize your goals and dreams. We'll see you guys next week.